You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, a draft Wednesday across the network. The Jazz blow out the Nuggets. We'll look at what they're doing so well with a regular game breakdown. The brilliance of Quinn Snyder and have they figured something out. Plus, oh, I don't know what else. Last night was insane. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, bringing insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and all sorts of things behind the curtains you wouldn't have otherwise. That's a big part of today's show. How about last night? Wow, the Jazz with a blowout win of the Denver Nuggets in incredible fashion. It is Draft Wednesday. That is where we all get together and play Daily Fantasy on the app Draft, which is super fun because it is what they do is they play a Daily Fantasy snake draft like you would in your regular draft. You just do it once a day. It's not the salary cap version, so it's super fun. We get together with a group. I actually already launched one today, and it got done, and it's underway right now as I'm recording the show. So what I'm going to do for you is let's do another one. Let's do another one, which is going to be I'll do the signups, I'll tweet it out, and then we'll host it at 2:45 today while I'm on the plane. They take like 5 minutes. It's 30 seconds a pick. You draft a center, two forwards, two guards. Promo code is LO Jazz. You can do it with your buddies. I'd strongly suggest, like, I'm thinking about Jeff down at the store. If he were to get five guys at the store, they get together. They could just do it together, sitting there on the break together at one time, or you can do it from remote. You got five buddies around. Super fun way to do it with the draft each day. You pick your player for that day. So it's Daily Fantasy. If you use the promo code LOJAZZ, you end up getting a $3 entry fee after you make your first deposit. So let's do that at 2:45 together today. All right, let's get to the show. We'll do our regular breakdown. The Jazz were great last night. It's just kind of was a continuation of everything we've seen. This is the third best offense in the NBA over the last nine games. That was their second best defensive effort. Their defense has been brilliant against Orlando, Chicago, and Denver. Denver's supposed to be good. This is really eye-opening. Their offense has been over 110 in seven of the nine games since Rudy's gotten hurt. We're going to dig into this in the second segment. This is Quinn Snyder instituting some real brilliance. All right, I just went back and rewatched the game. Let's do our regular breakdown, and then I'm going to try to get into some stuff. Andy Larson did a nice job at KSL.com and had some of the video plays up. And I'm going to start downloading some features and sending them out to you guys more to look at plays and look at things, because it's just incredible what Quinn's running. So here are the numbers on our breakdown. Last night, the Jazz offensive rating was a 118.4. Just insanely high. Defensive rating was an 86. That's Denver. Denver came in with an offensive rating of a 110. 109.5. They held them to 86. Denver's effective field goal percentage was 53, 10th best in the NBA. Jazz held them to 40. 40% effective field goal percentage. Denver, number one offensive rebounding team in the league at 28%. Jazz held them to 26%. Jazz offense is just rolling. Jazz offense effective field goal percentage last night, 56%. You know what the Jazz effective field goal percentage is in the last nine games? 55. They're like right on it. Jazz last night got a few less threes out. They took 37% of their shots as threes. They've been taking 38%. They got 28 points off turnovers last night. They're finding different ways to do these things. As they forced, you know, just a ton of turnovers, 18 last night. Did not go to the line at all and just bury the three. 14 to 32, 44%. They're at 42% over the last nine games. This was just a continuation of what we've seen. It is, as we've talked about a lot, it is a make or miss league, right? Like, it's such a bummer, boring way to talk about things. But it is a make-or-miss league, and that's a part of last night. Now, some of that can be that you're doing something to them that's unnerving them, and then they don't make their shots. Some of it can be that the Jazz are making these extra passes, and so they're more in rhythm, and they're making more shots. And some can be, you know, frankly, the opening of third quarter, Gary Harris misses a few shots that I think that he would probably regularly make, and he went 5 of 12 on uncontested shots last night, whereas the Jazz made theirs. Last night, the Jazz were weren't incredible. They were 24 of 52. That's pretty incredible, actually. 46% on uncontested looks. Jonas Jerebko, 4 of 8. Donovan Mitchell, 3 of 8. Ricky Rubio, 4 of 8. Joe Ingles, 2 of 6. Howell Neto only took 2 to make him. Royce O'Neal, 4 of 5. But they didn't have Rodney Hood last night. They didn't have Rudy Gobert last night. They didn't have Joe Johnson last night. They didn't have Dante Exum last night. I mean, no Rodney. He's been averaging 20 points a game. He's carrying this team. And now all of a sudden you don't have Rodney and you still drop the same offensive rating. It's pretty incredible. Denver was 18 of 49. Little off, 37%. You know, so they... But if they make another shot or two, it doesn't really matter. The Jazz beat them by 30. The Jazz outscored the Nuggets 58 to 28 last night in the second half. That is absurd. Really unheard of stuff we're talking about here. Truly, truly unheard of. They are just doing so many things well. A lot of them stem back to Quinn Snyder. I mean, it's so much stemming in my mind right now about Quinn that I'm having a hard time talking about anything else, and I have the second segment set aside to talk about Quinn. I mean, it's stunning. But last night, you've got just guys playing at such an incredibly high level. So, I mean, Joe Ingles doesn't make his shots last night. He's ball faking in kind of a magical fashion to move guys around and make plays, and all of a sudden Joe Ingles has got 6 assists last night and a secondary assist. Just so good. Derek Favors, 5 assists last night to go on with his overall dominating performance. What Favors is linking night in and night out, when Derek Favors is playing a big that's not as mobile as he is, Mozgov, Lopez, Jokic, Vucevic, he killed him. Jokic was minus 20 last night. Favors, 24 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks, and a steal. He was a beast last night. And the different ways, when you rewatch the game, the different ways he did it. Catching on the pick and roll, sliding by Jokic. Mid-roll floater. Mid-roll pass to the corner for the assist. Mid-range jumper, 2 of them late in the game. Derek did it in every aspect on the offensive end. And then defensively, the Jazz game plan was really interesting. So Denver is a handoff team, not a pick and roll team. Okay, so Denver runs some of the highest rate of handoffs, I think they're about 8th in the league in handoffs. Detroit's blowing everyone out of the water, and then Denver's it. But Denver doesn't run a lot of pick and rolls. So, and doesn't run a lot of off-ball screens. They're a handoff team. About 23rd in the league in picks, 28th in the league, I think, in off-ball screens, somewhere in that range. So they're a handoff team, largely predicated by Jokic. Actually, 23rd also in ball screens, but they're last in the league in efficiency off of ball screens. Off ball screens. Not off of ball screens, off ball screens. Follow me? So they're a handoff team. Quinn Snyder last night decided that they were going to go under on almost every single handoff, which leaves Gary Harris open for 3, which he missed 2 of in the, and maybe even 3 of in the opening part of the third quarter when the game swung. The reason they went under is otherwise it opened up the paint. The one time Rubio missed it early in the third quarter and went over, right down the middle of the lane went Jamal Murray. But the defensive scheme that the Jazz had last night where they cut that off by going under on every single one of those handoffs, and then the effort by Rubio and Mitchell and Ingles and Cephalosha and everybody else to get back and cut off their man when they went under. It's also, Favors had a great day, because to do it correctly, if Jokic has the ball and Favors is guarding, with the minute he hands it off, Favors has to take a step back so the man can get through. One removed rather than being two removed. And Favors did it beautifully last night. So the defensive execution was awesome. The little things offensively were just remarkably good. Remarkably good. Just super, super impressed last night. That was a stunning performance. I think from the standpoint of Mike Malone after the game, if you heard him, it was equally as stunning for the Nuggets in how bad they were. But we'll take it. I really, last night blew me away. Excites me of what maybe this team has discovered and what Quinn is doing. Now, again, the Denver caveat's coming. 12 of our 15 games in December are against teams above 500, and the other three are against Oklahoma City. I mean, it's a joke. Every single team we play in December is above 500, or it's Oklahoma City, who people pick like second, not me, but most people pick like second in the West. But this was pretty incredible. All right, we're going to dig into Quinn next. One way to look at the success of an NBA player is their PER, right? John Hollinger's player efficiency rank. Stockton, 21.8. Malone was at 23.9. Well, let's work on our WER, our water efficiency rating. The slow the flow people want me to talk to you about promoting water conservation. And you, living in Utah, a desert, should want water conservation. Okay? WER. What is our water efficiency rate? How can we make our water efficiency rate better? Install a low-flow toilet, and you save 0.3 gallons per flush. Doesn't sound like a lot. Flushes do add up. Okay? Another way is showers instead of baths. If you keep your shower under 5 minutes, you use 12 to 22 gallons of water. A full tub is 70 gallons. Little by little, you keep chipping away, developing your skills, and your WER goes to all-star levels, and we all win for it. I don't know that we're building a statue for you outside the building for your WER, but you should feel one inside your heart because you know how important water conservation is for us living here in a desert. Find out more. Go to slowtheflow.org. Slow the flow. Save H2O and become a WER all-star. Let's talk Quinn Snyder. Okay, two things are going on here. Quinn Snyder, from the day he became a head coach in the NBA, wanted to play spread floor, ball movement, passing, picking, four out. Actually talked about trying to play five out when he first took the job, offense. And then the reality of his roster was that Enes Kanter got traded and Rudy Gobert became an all-star and Derek Favors was still on the roster. And he has been saddled. Two great players, but for his vision of what he wanted to play, saddled, I think is the right word. I don't mean that in the sense that it's not a good thing, because those are two good players and that group has been successful, and I've mentioned it a million times. But if you get to what Quinn wanted to do, he wants to play spread like we have for the last nine games. That's the essence of what Quinn Snyder believes. And in those nine games, the Jazz have the third best offense in the NBA. They are shooting 38.1% of their shots as threes, which would be the third most amount in the league, which is good. They're shooting 42% from three, which makes it even better. In those nine games, the Jazz are throwing more passes, more picks than anyone in the league. In fact, I don't think it's actually close. Mike Malone was quoted before the game and basically said that they're number one in the league since the injury in picks and passes. It's true. And when you start to look at what Quinn's doing, it's not actually close. They're setting 100 picks a game right now in that stretch of time. The next closest in the league is 90. The league average, the median team, is 76. I mean, this is a unique style of play that is what Quinn Snyder believes in, and he's able to run it right now. We're also running it. It's not just pick and roll. We're driving. We're creating offense. It's the advantage. Frankly, it's a great article by Zach. It's advantage basketball, and he does it in a bunch of fashions that, you know, the rest of the league doesn't do. Utah's fourth in the league in handoffs since the injury, number one in picks, and I think in drives, according to Mike Malone, up in that same category. That's what this team has become. A pick and roll, handoff, driving team. Number one in drives as well. At 59 a game, the league average is 42. It's remarkable. This is the team Quinn wants. This is what his mind is built for. This is how he envisions offense. And he has discovered it somewhat due to the Gobert injury. It's not going to make things easier down the road. I mean, there's a hurdle here or two, right? Because of the fact that that's what this is still not exactly what the what's going to happen with what our roster is. So that's the essence of what Quinn is, and we're seeing this offense. Well, have we seen it before? You know, you're looking back at it. We went to the small lineup last year with Joe Johnson and Rudy Gobert. The offensive rating was a 114.2. Right? In the 675 minutes that those two guys played together last year, the offensive rating for the Jazz was through the roof. You start to compare that to the best offenses in the league last year, they're right up there. Now, we thought at the time, well, that's because of Gordon and that's because of George Hill. And that was largely because of them. They're great. But there's also something to Quinn's system. So that offensive rating of Joe Johnson for 114.2 in last season would have been the number one offense in the NBA. Golden State was number one at 113. With Joe Johnson and Derek Favors, they were a 109. But that was only for 111 minutes. So you go and take their 800 minutes, which is a lot, of playing slow last year, or excuse me, playing small last year, and your offensive rating is equal to the number one offense in the NBA. That's our sample size of Quinn doing what Quinn wants to do. And we're talking Golden State, Houston, Cleveland without the firepower. I mean, there is a real chance here that this guy is just a basketball genius who is finding ways and a preparation master that is turning the Jazz into an offensive team that we never anticipated this year. There's no way I ever thought there was a 9-game stretch where we were the third best offense league. Now, we've still got issues. Like, the fact is that Ricky, Derek, and Rudy on the floor together has not worked. And we're going to get there soon. Rudy's supposedly next evaluation date is 2 weeks. I don't think we'll see. Rudy says he's a fast healer. I believe him. The other thing that Quinn does that's just incredible is every single day at practice on shoot around, the Jazz institute a specific package for that opponent. So it's not like he's putting something new in because they already have this incredibly outlandish, wide-ranging playbook of plays. But on a given night, Quinn will have been well enough prepared against Milwaukee that they run through a certain part of his package of plays. I have to be a little non-specific here. In shoot-around, and then he runs through the various options off of it, the six or seven things that he's built into it so that if they do this, we do that. And they run through that at shoot-around of game days. I think it's unheard of. He will be yelling out to the players, this is how they will guard this. He's that prepared. His staff is amazing, too. This is not just him. This is Mike Wells, Alex Jensen, Igor Kokoschkov, Johnny Bryant, Lamar Skeeter. I'm going to forget someone. Sagana Jop, Antonio Lang. I was trying to do pairs of coaches there. AJ Lamar. Johnny works with Wellesley, I think. Igor, Zach Guthrie, I forgot in that. So I screwed it up because I was trying to do pairs, and now I've messed it up. Like, the coaching staff is incredible. Zach's going to kill me for going last. Jeff Watkinson, he's now going last, so now he's going to kill me. I should have never started naming coaches. Waddy's doing great work right now, particularly working with AB, who looks so good, looks so much better. Zach Guthrie sits with Quinn Snyder, and they run through offensive plays that they're going to alter for before every game on what might be to this matchup. Like, that is just incredible preparation. The defensive stuff we've talked about for years, the offensive stuff is now coming together in a just wow manner. And this is who Quinn is. We're gonna walk through some plays from the game, the opening of third quarter in the next segment. Because I just want to dig into this. So the offense is creative. The article by Zach Lowe was terrific on the advantage. He is figuring out ways to create advantage. One of the things Zach talked about that's huge to what they're doing is guys get the ball while moving. So he talked about the mismatch, and if there's a mismatch, then he's able to back the guy back up, throw it over to him, so he catches it on the run, and now the big that's dealing with it is struggling. He's backpedaling, coming at you. He's in the world of hurt. The other thing you're seeing right now is the Jazz are getting the ball on the move. They're getting in the paint, and they're passing it around and putting the other team into the blender. You're seeing pick and rolls where they go one way and they flip the pick back the other way. This is to deal with the fact that bigs drop. Well, now the big's got to get back on the other side, and you've got Jokic moving, and you attack him all night, and he looks terrible. The level of detail that into each individual night is awesome. Now, I want to throw one caveat out there because I get a little nervous when we get overly excited about things and feel like I always laugh when people tell me that I'm a homer because, like, I think I actually am as even keeled and try to let me caution slightly a little of what's going on. And here's why. I don't want to diminish it. I think it's incredible. The Brooklyn Nets are the 27th ranked defense in the league. These are the nine teams we've played. Minnesota is 24th. The Knicks are 20th. We played the Nets again, who are 27th. Orlando is 23rd. The 76ers, who crushed us, are 10th. The Bulls are 28th, the Bucks are 18th, and the Nuggets are 21st. This nine-game run of brilliance the Jazz are on offensively are against eight teams of the nine who are ranked in the bottom half offensively and seven who are ranked in the bottom third. Some of this is Quinn Snyder exploiting completely terrible defenses with his brilliance, with the ball movement, with the guys executing it, with these specific game plans, with these styles. You're taking players that are not very good defenders, putting some indecision into them. That's the essence of what Quinn does, is he puts indecision into these guys, and they're not very good. Coming up, the Clippers, whoever they might be, it's a little unclear, due to Blake Griffin's injury, are 19th. New Orleans is pretty good defensively, actually, I think. They're 16th, still bottom half, though. Washington is 13th, so it's an upgrade. Our next three games are going to be against teams that are on another tier. Then Oklahoma City is the second best defense. Houston is the eighth best defense. We go back to play Milwaukee, who's going to want to give us one. We play Chicago, who's not good. Oh, wait, that's one of our below 500 teams. We actually play a game against a below 500 team. I was wrong. Then we play Boston, who's number one. Cleveland, who's not great defensively, though they're getting better. Houston, again, eighth. Oklahoma City, second. Like, if the offense, and we'll be, you know, the offense has got, then San Antonio, sixth. Oklahoma City, again. Then Denver, who's not good. Then Golden State, who's three or four. Right? So, we're going to have a tougher stretch coming up here. Defensively. All right, I'm going to walk through some plays. We're going to play Telestrator here in a second. I hope you, for Thanksgiving, headed over to the store at 6200 South and 20th East to take care of all your Thanksgiving needs. They had it all lined up for you. If you have not, check out the store. I love it. Just the home feeling you get when you're there, whether it's the fresh squeezed orange juice machine, the peanut butter, make your own peanut butter while you're there, whether it's the salsa dips that are made in the back. You go back and the produce is all there. If you kind of sneak your head around, there's three people there just cutting up the tomatoes, cutting up the salsa, making the salsa in this back little area. They've got the craft beer set up. It's a wonderful thing about it is that Scott and Jeff, who own the store, and what's is that they find a product they think's really cool. And Jeff's the owner, Scott's his son, and Scott's kind of in charge of stocking it up. And he finds a product that's really, really cool, and he adds it. Right, they go around, they look around, they follow the trends and keep an eye on. They have this freedom of your local community store that, you know, I think my customers will really like this. And so then they add in these individual things and give the place a great feel. Not to mention, they now have a brand new cold brew that they have built or that they have there. Kombucha that you can go get if you're big into the kombucha world. And then they have the bakery over on the right-hand side when you walk in, which has the amazing, I think it's called Mudslide, double chocolate chip cookies. I think they're called the Mudslide cookies that are the best. They also have the Cottonwood Ace right next to them, the only Traeger showroom in state. With this weather, you can still be barbecuing. I was with Doris Burke the other day. We were driving around Park City, showing around. She saw Big Green Egg. She's like, oh, have you ever had the Big Green Egg? They're incredible. They're the best. And I was like, wow, I might have to stop by the Cottonwood Ace and get one after that. So huge barbecue set up over the Cottonwood Ace right next to the store. 6200 South, 20th East is like it's actually 2050. Stop by. Check all of it out. The cakes de flore right in front are amazing. The neighborhood rolls that are frozen right as you walk right in. The cakes will be there. The bakery is on your right. This is on your right side of the store. The bakery is on your right hand side. Right in that case right there, there's a frozen set of rolls that everyone says are amazing. I'm surprised with my love for carbs. I haven't had any yet. I'll have to go grab some. All right, I want to go through a few plays. This is not usually great on radio, but I don't, I don't have any other way to do it. I'll probably drop them. Actually, Andy Larson of KSL.com, who does great work. I'm a big fan, and he's a nice kid. He's not even really a kid anymore. That's kind of the bummer. All right, I got to make sure I get the volume off on this, or else you're going to get Doris and Mark, who do great work. So. I want to just walk through two or three plays to open up the offensively, to open up what the Jazz were able to do to start this game in the third quarter. So the first one is just such a basic play, but early action, 18 on the shot clock. This is where the Jazz are improving offensively. They're getting into things early, and they space perfectly. So they get down, 18's on the shot clock. Donovan's in the left corner. Joe's angle left. Coming down the floor is Ricky Rubio with the basketball off a Gary Harris drive where the Jazz going under worked it. But Rubio pushes it up. He goes immediately out to the right side of the floor. Now everyone spaces. This is where Ricky's supposed to be. Jarebko sets an early drag screen while Favors runs the left side of the line. So Lane, now you have a right side of the floor that's open for a pick and roll. Jarebko sets the pick and immediately goes out to the right corner. Favors is in the paint. As I said, Donovan's far side and lifted. Ricky gets into the paint. Fareed, who wants to stay near the glass and doesn't want to go out, cuts in. Jokic kind of cuts off Favors, and boom, Jarebko for the open corner three. This play is really just basic, fundamental, early action basketball. But that's not something we've always had. That's not Quinn Snyder necessarily being brilliant. That's just a nicely spread floor. Now, this is Quinn Snyder being brilliant. And this is a play that I mentioned to Andy. Andy put in, I believe, and you've got the multiple actions. This is where half-court set, 19 on the shot clock, so you're still early getting going. You might be a slow pace of play team, but you've gotten into it early. Rubio passes. The first pass comes from Rubio. And the Jazz, to set it up for you, the first thing that's happening is Rubio passes to Favors, who's lifted above the left elbow. On the left side, Jarebko is now setting a down screen to the corner for Donovan Mitchell. So no decision is being made here yet by a defender. But here's the first decision that Quinn's making Denver make. As Jarebko sets that pick on Mitchell, how are they going through this pick? Are they going to switch it? What are their assignments? What do they have to do? So they're going over on Mitchell. So Jarebko sets the pick. Harris guarding Mitchell, who they really tried to take away last night, is now trailing. Rubio spaces the right. Ingles is hanging out down the right side of the floor, down near the glass, near the basket. Favors hands it off to Mitchell. Another decision. Is Gary Harris trailing this? Is he going over the pick? Is he gapping underneath? What's Jokic got to do? Okay. He trails. Jokic drops to try to cut off that pass. So now Jokic, simultaneously to Mitchell getting the ball, Favors and Jarebko on the left side of the floor are now setting elevator doors for Joe Ingles. Nobody does this. This is like, we still have 15 on the shot clock. This has all happened in 3 seconds. So now Jokic has left Favors because he's worrying about Mitchell penetrating. Rubio's spacing to the right corner. On the angle left, Favors and Jarebko are coming together to set an elevator door pick, which is a pick, and Ingles runs through it, and the elevator door closes. As that happens, Ingles gets through the pick. Now, what Denver's defense has to make another decision. Who's supposed to guard Ingles? Hermann Gomez is picked off by Favors. Jokic is not in the play because he dropped back to worry about Mitchell driving, so he's nowhere near help. So Jarebko's man, which is Fareed, now tries to go around Jarebko to get to Ingles to deny the three, while Hermann Gomez is actually trying to go around the pick on the other side because it's a double pick. Favors and Ingles catches the ball. Jarebko immediately slips. Fareed is now on Ingles. Hermann Gomez is now on Ingles because they got through the picks. Favors is ready to set a pick and roll if he needs to. And so Ingles drops the pass over the top to Jarebko. If you're still following me, you're a genius. I'll post this play. Well, now both Ingles drops it over. Jarebko, the one man back is Jokic. Jarebko's got a 2-on-1 with Favors. Favors reacts immediately, rolls to the basket. Jarebko drops it to him, lays it up and in. The amount, that's with, and that is done. So this all happens. Here's the play-by-play call of it. Rubio, left wing to Favors, hands off to Mitchell, back out to the wing to Ingles, taps to Jarebko, bounces to Favors, who lays it up and in. That is happening in a span of 6 seconds. And what did we have? 6 different decisions that Denver had to make in that time period, and I kind of blew one of them. I'm not actually sure that they blew it that badly. Mike Malone calls a timeout of frustration, and the Jazz are suddenly starting to pick them apart. That is just Quinn Snyder's system, intelligent players, everyone being ball movers, multiple actions at the same time, going in different directions, and it's unique to what Utah does, and it's beautiful basketball. It's really special stuff. Might be crappy podcast, but it's special stuff. Out of the timeout, next play. Seems very basic. Ingles and Favors are hanging around the free throw line. Mitchell brings the ball up. Favors goes to set a pick. Mitchell works off of it. Now Ingles rubs right on the bat. So the first decision has to be made. What are you doing on the pick and roll with Mitchell? Jokic steps out. Harris stays with Mitchell. Ingles now rubs his man right off the backside of Favors. Favors rolls down the middle of the lane because Ingles brought Hernan Gomez there. He can't help out on Favors. So out of the left corner, Murray has to take care of Favors on the roll. Mitchell throws an over-the-head brilliant pass to Rubio, who steps into a 15-foot jumper and hits. Again, fairly basic, but that little added element of Ingles rubbing through on Favors adds a bit of confusion, and Mitchell throws a brilliant over-the-head bullet pass to Ricky Rubio, who Murray's left, and then Murray closes out terribly because they're not a good defensive team. Now, some of this goes away when you play a good defensive team, and that's a little bit of kind of what I'm talking about here, that we have to be a little careful when you look at those defensive ratings and you see who we're playing, that these are not very good teams, and so therefore, when the Jazz are taking advantage of it, there's an element that's a little misleading. The other same. This is so fundamentally basic, but here's a play. The next time down, Jazz swinging around the outside, three passes. Everyone's touched the ball. They come back to Mitchell on the jabs as though he's going back door. Comes back to get it. Favors is now setting a pick. Jarebko and Ingles are lifted left side with Rubio in the left corner. Mitchell takes the dribble around the right side of the floor. Jokic comes to him. Denver actually is guarding this pretty well. There's a pick being set on the left side of the floor by Jarebko on Ingles' man. That's going to open up Ingles for a three. Fareed is worried about it. Murray has dropped in, not necessarily the smartest. Mitchell just rockets a pass, cross court, skip pass. Rubio for three, missed it. It's just very fundamental. But kind of one of the tricks is on the backside of that, there's another pick going on. There's another action at all times. Really, it's just incredible. All right, that's an extended long version of Locked On Jazz. Join me for draft today, 2:45. I'll tweet it out here in a little bit. Thanks very much for tuning in. Thanks to the store. Thanks to Stop the Flow. Stop the Flow. Slow the Flow. Stop the Flow would be better. Slowtheflow.org. Showers instead of baths. Do the things you need to do to help our desert out at slowtheflow.org. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.